Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 5th of March. Happy that you're with me today. Happy anniversary to my parents. Mom and Dad married on the 5th of March. I greet them with a happy anniversary today. As we get started in the 7th verse of Zechariah chapter 11, we're working through this prophecy of the shepherds. Verse 7 says, "So I fed the flock for slaughter, in particular, the poor of the flock. I took for myself two staffs, one I called beauty and the other I called bonds, and I fed the flock." Now remember, this is God talking. All the way back in verse 4, God begins a speech. So if God's feeding the flock for slaughter, and we've already placed the timing of this based upon the contextual statements of verse 6, we've placed the timing for this in the time of Christ. So it's God feeding the flock. Particularly, he says, the poor of the flock. And this is another timing verse that tells me this is talking about Jesus. Because if you'll recall, the ministry of Jesus was concerned with making sure that the gospel have the poor preach to them. It's one of the calling cards Jesus sends back to John the Baptist when John sends disciples to Jesus and say, "Are you the one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus said, "You go tell John the things which you have both seen and heard, how the poor have the gospel preached to them." Why does Jesus use that first? You would think he would have said, "Hey, go tell them about the dead man you saw raised." That's in there, but it's not the first thing he says. And I think it's because the idea of the gospel is so appealing to those who have had the heel of someone else on them. And the fact that a king has come and a new kingdom is in effect is an exciting thing for those who are poor. And the Gospels continue this theme. One of the first things that he says in Luke 4 when he reads from the scroll of Isaiah is, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." You see this over and over again. Remember the poor widow in Mark 12 who gives money, and Jesus says she gave it from her poverty, and out of her giving from her poverty, she has outgiven everyone. In Luke 14, he encouraged the wealthy people to throw a feast and bring in the people who are poor and crippled and lame and blind. The very principle of the kingdom seems to be blessing towards those who are poor. That was the problem with the rich young ruler. Not that he disliked poor people or whatever, but because the rich young ruler had a dependency on his wealth. What Jesus tells him to do is sell the things that he has and give them to the poor. And that was something that he couldn't do. And at every turn, you see this concern that Jesus has with the poor and how they're being treated and how they are being received and what is happening on their behalf. So in the 7th verse of Zechariah 11, when he feeds the flock that is being prepped for slaughter, these are the people in the time of Christ. And then in particular, the poor of the flock, he's taking care of in particular the poor, very much a Christocentric thing to do. And then he takes for himself two staffs, one he calls beauty and the other one he calls bonds. And the Hebrew rendering for these words are grace and unity. And it seems to be, not only is it the equipment of a shepherd, that's obvious, but there's going to be an object lesson given through beauty and bonds in which they're going to be shattered in half. Verse 10 tells us beauty is going to be cut in two. And then in verse 14, bonds is going to be broken as well. And so it's the grace and the unity that is going to be snapped in half. When you get down into verse 10, you will learn that beauty is the covenant between God and his people, or grace. Isn't it interesting that an Old Testament understanding of the covenant God has on his people is a covenant of grace? It doesn't change until we get into the New Testament and see exactly what the people have done to the law and what the law have done to people, to where we start to realize that we really needed a better picture of grace than the law could provide. And that better picture of grace is a man named Jesus. And so that old staff of the Old Testament gets shattered. We'll get to that as we get deeper into that 11th chapter. And then bonds it's broken as well, which is unity, and that's the unity of Judah and Israel. And that happens because there's a further fracturing of the tribes of Israel and Judah that ensues, that goes on. That idea, let me go back for a second, that idea that that which was supposed to be grace, that old covenant, ends up being, not grace, it ends up being law, in that Israel has their hearts hardened. I brought this out, and I don't want to get too deep into the detail, but I brought this out in our book Between the Pieces, where we deal with that idea of the blinded Israel, where in John 12, Jesus says that, he quotes Isaiah, where Israel's had their eyes and their hearts blinded and hardened. And how then can we fault Israel if they've had their eyes and hearts blinded and hardened? And I think where I messed up for a long time is I thought that what that text was saying is that God did this to Israel so that they would not receive Jesus, so that he could bring in a new covenant. But I don't think that's it. I think Paul's revelation of 2 Corinthians 3, in which men had their minds blinded by the law, by veils, I think it's Jesus's way of saying that men had begun to trust in the law, and that blinded them, because as they begin to trust in the law, they walked away from faith. And when we turn to Christ in faith, the veil, 2 Corinthians 3:16, the veil is taken away. And so then there's no more blinding. And so the law did its job in that it exposed evil, but it blinded men to the truth, is that they could only have this by faith. The very presence of the law made people believe that they could have something by their performance, and it blinded them to the reality that they could have nothing by their performance, but only, they could have everything only due to faith. And so we'll get into the three shepherds of verse 8. He dismisses three shepherds in 1 month, and we'll talk about what that might mean. And I say what it might mean because we get into some different possible explanations, and we'll go down the road with you on those tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.